Greetings again this morning. In Jesus' name. Who wrote the most letters and epistles in the New Testament? Who traveled, estimated from 9,000 to 15,000 miles for the cause of the establishing of churches? I believe it was 14 churches. Who gave 14 to 25 years of his life in missionary work? And how did he accomplish all that? You know who that was, right? Apostle Paul, thank you. I invite you to Matthew 19. We looked recently at translations, and I'm going to use some words, look at some Bible words, and then give you my own title. And he's speaking here. Jesus is talking in verse 8, and I'll just read this. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs who were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs who are made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. I recently, there's a man that I've known for some time. He's been here, I believe, a year or two ago. And he reached out and said, hey, I write a devotional, I believe he called it, and an email. Would you like to receive it? Send me your email. I'll send it to you. And I've only been getting it for the last 2 weeks. But I have been very blessed and challenged with the content of his little encouragement. I think sometimes he takes his sermons and works them into that, but just a lot of good things. But incidentally, Todd is living out these verses. He had a wife. They were divorced. Today he's living a single life for the kingdom of heaven. And the phrase that I would like to paraphrase says, there are some eunuchs which are eunuchs from their mother's womb. There are some eunuchs made of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And the context is that if you're divorced and remarried, you need to live single for God. And that's where we're going to start with the message this morning. Single for God is the title. Single for God. How did Paul accomplish everything that he accomplished? Because he was single for God. He couldn't have done it with a family. He couldn't have done it if he put money first or if he put tents first, but instead he put building the kingdom, because he wanted that to be first. These verses tell us there are those incapable of marriage from birth. There are those who choose that. And there were a group of Jews, and I don't know if I'm saying this right, they call them the Essenes, who had taken on celibacy for the kingdom of heaven. And it is said that they lived celibate and they adopted children to live with them and cared for them, raising them since they had no parents. But that's what he had in reference here. And I just take the the commentary's word for it. But I invite you to 1 Corinthians 7. In 1 Corinthians 7, we have the Apostle Paul speaking to us by personal inspiration, and he was given permission by the Spirit to write this for us. And there are times when we read things that he said here and we might argue with that, but it is what he believed and what he lived. And so I'd like to dedicate this message to the single, the people who are living single here this morning. And I decided not to mention names. I think I might miss some and would hate to do that. So, and I don't know exactly how many are here and are not here. I don't believe everyone is here that is a single member here today. Here in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 to 5 are mostly about marriage. And then in verse 6, he says, "But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn." Now we're going to drop down to verse 17. "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all the churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also is he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not. And they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband is dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. I don't know how that all strikes you, if you agree with the Apostle Paul or if you disagree. We know that in Genesis 2:18, God said that it is not good for man to be alone, and he created a helpmeet. And probably most of us would agree that our wives are a real blessing, a helpmeet to us that are married. But Paul says that it is good to be single, and his desire is that a woman is happier if she stays that way, and he is happier if he is unmarried. And I suppose that there are possibly some here that agree with the Apostle Paul. And that's all right. We're going to have charity for either one of those positions this morning. I'd like to look at some principles, some truths. For the first part of the message, I'd like to look at some truths of singlehood. Truths of singlehood. Now, I'm speaking for the Apostle Paul, and I believe that I can be charitable enough to support him in this, even though for my life I am married and very happy to be married. I am not at all pining to be freed from my marriage. I am thankful. But we're going to look at this, and we're going to look at the blessings of singlehood. The truths of singlehood. Number one, it is good to be single. It is good to be single. That's out of verse 8. It is good for them if they abide even as I. It's good to be single. I appreciate the people who are single that have invested their lives and have become more than they could be if they were married. And I was thinking about that, especially in the Apostle Paul's life. How that it would not have been fair to his wife to live like he did if he was married, would it? Hardly. I know of people who drag their wives around the world on mission work and who this and that, and be it where it may, I believe that Paul fulfilled his calling in being single. Singleness can be a full life of blessing. Now, it is also true that one of the things he mentions again and again throughout this is that where are you in your journey? If you're happy about it, then it's a good thing. And if you're upset about it, then maybe it's time to change it. Secondly, I would like to say that single is beautiful. Single is beautiful. Now, I believe that there are cultures, and possibly even within our culture, we have put too much of a stigma on being single. And I believe that that's wrong, and I believe that we need to be careful not to do that. We need to believe that single is beautiful. There shouldn't be stigma with being single, no matter on your age or position in life. Thirdly, I believe it's in verse 17, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. What is he telling us? Live as you are called in God's will. That's point number three. Live as you are called in God's will. And he mentions whether you're bond or free, circumcised or uncircumcised, single or married, if you're wherever you are in life. Accept God's calling in your life and enjoy it. Contentment. Don't pine for something different. You know, it is easy to live and to think about the greener grass. What if this and what if that? And to take our life and to waste it thinking about what could have been. And it's not a good place to be. Allow God to set the circumstances in my life and enjoy where God has placed me. That's just a part of living, is accepting the things that we can't change. and accepting it as God's will. Verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Verse 24, brethren, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Live as you are called in God's will. He does, however, allow, verse 21, no, that's not the verse. Well, yes, actually, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather, okay? If you're called to be a servant, that's great. And if God opens up a release from that servanthood, take it. And he also mentions the same thing with marriage. If you're single and God opens marriage for you, take it. And so point number four is move as God opens the doors. Move as God opens the doors. And I believe that's a principle for all of us. If God opens change, it's not a sin to marry. He mentions that also at the end of the chapter. Verses 36. Move as God opens the doors. And that is one of the difficulties of life, is to move in God's timing and to wait for God's timing. God, I don't think that things are moving along fast enough. And to try to help God or to move things in a different way, it didn't work out too well for a lot of people in the Bible. Think of Abraham and the various times that he tried that. It never ended well. Number five, truths of singlehood. Number five is the single are free and undistracted. He talks about here about being bound to a wife, probably that's one description of it. Whether you're a single brother in verse 32, if you're free, you can care for the things that belong to the Lord, versus verse 33, where if you're bound to please your wife. You know, I don't usually think of it that way, but recently I did hear of a conversation where a young married lady talked about how that being married is difficult. She's not free anymore, but she's bound. And, of course, I hope that that changes for her, that she can see it as a joy to serve instead of being bound. But the single are free. They're also undistracted. They're free and undistracted, number five. And that's brought out verse 34, for the woman that she is free, and that if she is married, that she instead is to consider how she can please her husband. But in verse 35, the single may attend to the Lord without distraction. They are free and undistracted. Well, singles are called to serve God in their freedom, and that's point number six. Singles are called to serve God in their freedom. It would be interesting to know where each of you married men would be in your life if you would never have married. What would you be doing with your life if you wouldn't have ever gotten married? Would you have a big bank account? Would you have a big stash of men's toys, the pickups and the four-wheelers and the boats? Would you be traveling the world around, or what would you do with your life? You know, the Bible talks about people who bury their talent and don't do anything. And the question is, what does that look like? What would that look like in my life if I just live for myself? Anyway, we don't have to go there, but I believe that singles are called to serve God in their freedom. And that's mentioned several times in these verses. And seventhly, that greatness for singles is found in service. I simply added that. It's a biblical principle. Matthew 20, 26, whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. And if we don't know what to do, find somebody to serve. It's a way to find fulfillment and greatness, whether it's the single or the married. Greatness for singles is found in serving. And I'll just say it again, I'm so blessed with singles that serve. I've been blessed with that in my life in various ways. Second part of the message, I'd like to consider struggles of singlehood. And these are not brought out in this passage. But I believe that it's reality. Number one, being alone. Being alone. It is natural to desire companionship. The Bible talks, a number of verses talk about that. If you fall, staying warm, a variety of things, a variety of benefits. And to be alone is a struggle, to live without companionship. And it's probably especially difficult for those of you who are called to singlehood after you're married. You've been married a number of years and your wife or your husband died and is gone and now you're alone. Bearing with the inconveniences of being alone. Nobody knows if you fall. Nobody knows if you're hurting. Nobody knows, and live the life of being alone, seemingly uncared for. And that's difficult. It's a struggle. Another difficulty in singlehood, struggle, is maintaining balance. Maintaining balance. When we only talk to the wall and the walls don't talk back, how do we find our equilibrium and balance in life and things? Who is our sounding board? And if we only always answer our own questions, then how do we find balance? Maintaining balance. Thirdly, finding purpose. Finding purpose. What should we do when there's nothing that we feel like doing and nothing is pressing and people fall into depression being single? Finding purpose. Fourthly, finding direction. Finding direction. In marriage, a man leads, and maybe especially hard for widowers. Widows, I'm sorry, especially for widows. Widows when the man is gone and no longer a leader. Finding direction, who guides them? Or maybe you're like the young lady I talked about before. You lived all your life doing what he wanted, and now you're finally free. You're finally free. I don't know if we have any here like that or not, but now you can do whatever you want without a man telling you what to do. Struggles of singlehood. Number five is denying self-centered living. And goes back a little to the thought in the first part. Yesterday I saw a t-shirt, and I don't know what's really behind it. I looked it up, and it didn't seem like it was all bad, but I believe it was a pullover, said Self-Love Club. Self-Love Club. And it's actually promoting wellness, taking care of yourself. If you're struggling with depression, go get some help. Take care of yourself. Don't just let yourself fall into total lack of discipline and disarray, but love yourself, take care of yourself. But there is also the challenge that we face, especially in America, that love yourself, take care of yourself, and put everybody else down and lift yourself up. Love yourself, and we know that's not. And I think that is a struggle of being single, is just getting all wrapped up in your own world, and that's all the bigger that your world is. And maybe that's just a young single man challenge. Maybe that's not necessarily anyone else. I don't know. Number six, not being ingrown. Ingrown, similar to the first, but as we think about socially, if the only face that we see is ours alone in the mirror, and that's all that we think about, being ingrown, that's a challenge. And so I think the answer for that, in studying for this, I came across Psalm 68, verse 6. It says, God setteth the solitary in families. God setteth the solitary in families. I think there's certainly a place for a single person to live with another single person, share a house, and then especially to reach out to others. And today, with modern technology, we have the wonderful opportunity of the apps, easy to reach out, to get in touch with other people, and to let others, to be a part of other people's world, and to let them be a part of our world. And another struggle of being single, number 7, and he mentions it here in verse 1, and that is sexuality. Being single requires a commitment to purity, and that is mentioned in verse 1, in verse 9, and in verse 37. Why did God create us a sexual being and then ask us to live unfulfilled sexually? Live as a single person. And one of the things that impressed me about the songs is that we were singing to that we would pursue intimacy with Christ, that we would pursue who He is and learn to know Him in a real way. Today, just as the singles are called to live in purity, Jesus is waiting for His bride, and He waits patiently. You say, well, He's God, and I'm man, and that's true, there is a difference. But just as Jesus longs for His bride and waits patiently, so singles can long to be received into Christ's arms and endure patiently. Now, the Bible does say here that if it is a struggle for men, we can pursue marriage, and that's a right thing. There's also a place that we can say, you know what? If I can live in purity, I can live alone. And he gives that, Paul, that was Paul's choice, that he chose to live single instead. And I would suppose that this area is more of a struggle for some than for others, but it is one of the struggles. Moving on to the strengths of singlehood. I believe number 1 is that singles accomplish more for God. And I added, when they focus on a mission. You don't have to add that. Singles accomplish more for God when they focus on a mission. They are able to focus solely on one thing. They can focus on learning a career, being a doctor, being a nurse, being a midwife. They can focus on certain areas of ministry, children's and youth ministries. They can focus on all sorts of things they fill their life with. And they accomplish more because, yes, we know they're not as distracted, and they can pursue and perfect their mission, whatever that is. He also mentions here in 1 Corinthians 7 that singles are not anxious. And that's point number 2. Singles are not anxious with cares of earth life, but at rest. I wonder if that's true in American culture. I believe that Christian singles are not as anxious with the cares of this life, but are at rest. They don't have the physical demands. They don't have the financial demands. I don't know if you're 65, if most 65-year-old men have more hair and less gray hair and all of the physical. I don't know about that, but the Apostle Paul says that they're not as anxious, and so we'll take his word for it. And also the other strength is singles can focus on learning to know Christ in a more intimate way. They have more time. And he is I don't know if it's fair to say he's more to them, but when there is no one to talk to, I believe it's right to talk to God, talk to Jesus. When there's no one to listen to, you can listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Singles are free to enjoy, number four, singles are free to enjoy the seasons of life to the fullest. The seasons of life to the fullest. You know, when they're young, they can travel. The singles' seasons of life may be different, but they have opportunities to sow and to invest in the lives of others and to reap a bountiful harvest. And they have lots of opportunities. For sake of time, we're going to keep moving. Number five, singles can reach the needy and hurting with open arms. Isaiah 54, I'll read a few verses for you here. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more, for thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord that hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in thy spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith God. Who is he talking to? Well, some theorize that he's talking to the Jews, some the Gentiles, and there's a variety of, or we could just take it for what it says, thou that didst not bear, the widow. God is going to enrich your life with other people, and take it at face value. And I'm not saying that others don't apply, but I was impressed in verse 5, for thy Maker is thine husband. I believe that for single people, God wants to be something special to you. He wants to be that balancing factor. Singleness for God . Why does it say in Matthew 6:22 that if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light? You know, we talk about virgins and we struggle with virgins. And I believe that means to be focused. If thine eye is focused on God versus a double-minded heart or double-minded person. But I believe that a single's life has the opportunity to be rich and overflowing, depending what they focus on. And I'm thankful for that. I don't believe that single living has to be second rate at all. But I believe that Isaiah 54 talks about the blessings that can be there. I also believe that Psalm 37 is a very common wedding devotional and even message text. But I believe this morning that move over, married folks. Psalm 37 is for singles. It says, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. There's a lot of truth in these verses for single folks. I believe that single life is a walk of faith with God. It's a walk of faith with God, and I believe that's something that applies to each of us. Whether you are married or whether you are single, that life is a walk of faith. What is God going to do this year in my life? How is he going to provide? How is he going to direct and challenge? There's a lot of questions that we have, but we are called to trust in the Lord and do good. We are called to delight in Him, commit our way to Him, and not to live in stress and fear, and find that rest, because God is good. And so we walk a walk of faith in Him. Well, in closing, I would just like to again say that I don't know what age that you are this morning. If God has called you to singlehood, we appreciate you and your contribution to church life, to society, to the people that you serve, single sisters, single brothers. I know that many of you are giving your lives to mentor young children, some to elderly care, some as teachers, secretaries. Some of you are developing special skills. I know some of you as younger singles that are getting older are putting yourself and your talents into music, and I enjoy and appreciate that. And I don't know what all God has for you, but I believe, like the Apostle Paul said, that singlehood is beautiful. It's much of what we make out of it. And may God bless each of you that are widows and widowers as you endure alone. Pray that God would be with you and bless each of you in the ongoing journey of life. And the singles at Shirksville are not second rate. I would just like to say that. Let's kneel for prayer.